Well, I think one of the most important examples of current Indigenous resistance was the Oka Crisis of 1990. The Mohawks of Gunasatagi, a small territory reserve near the township of Oka, were resisting the expansion of a golf course and a condominium setup that was going to infringe on some of the last remaining pines, wooded area that they used for their ceremonies, lacrosse, and part of their graveyard was contained in this area. So in 1989-1990, they started campaigning to stop this. They organized protests. They had petitions. They went to city council in Oka to try to stop this expansion, and the city was just arrogant and just would not listen to the people. They began a blockade of a small dirt road in the pines in Gunasatagi, and they maintained this this little blockade for a few months. The township of Oka tried to get a court injunction to order its removal, and on July 11th, the Quebec Provincial Police sent in a large, heavily armed force of tactical officers armed with M16s and tear gas and that, and they went to dismantle this peaceful blockade. But by that time, warriors had rallied to the defense of this blockade and this struggle to protect the pines. And so behind the protesters, there were armed warriors. And when the police came in shooting tear gas, the warriors engaged them in a short firefight, and one of the police officers was shot and killed. After this shootout, the Quebec police retreated. They abandoned most of their vehicles, and this began a 77-day armed siege of the Mohawk community in Gunasatagi. That same morning, Mohawks in Ganawagi seized the Mercier Bridge, also with arms. They seized the Mercier Bridge to place, as an act of solidarity, but also to place pressure on the Quebec government, because the Mercier Bridge was a vital commuter link into Montreal from the suburbs. And I mean, 100,000 people a day were using this bridge to get to work and to do their business in the city and that. This siege began. There was thousands of police deployed. Eventually, after a few, 2 or 3 weeks, the Canadian Armed Forces were deployed. They deployed an entire brigade of 4,500 troops, complete with armored units, armored personnel carriers, tanks, helicopters, jets, artillery units, and naval forces as well, to contain these two communities of Gunasatagi and Ganawagi. There was mass rioting by the white Quebecois residents of Chateauguay, a nearby town, demanding that the military go in and crush this uprising. So it really inflamed a lot of the local racial tensions. Across the country, there was a widespread solidarity movement that arose to defend the Mohawks, and there was protests all across the country, occupations of government offices, occupations and shutting down of bridges, railway lines. There was sabotage, electrical pylons were downed, bridges were burned. So the government of Canada was facing an insurgency that was arising from this standoff. And this was the main contributing factor, of course, that limited the military violence by the government. And the 77-day siege ended when the armed Mohawks burned their weapons and walked out of the final area that they had been contained in. But they refused to surrender, and they got into clashes with the military and the police as they tried to enter this area. But that was the ending of the 77-day siege. Something like 30 or 40 of these people were later acquitted on the grounds of self-defense in court. And the golf course and the condominium project were never expanded. So the Mohawks were victorious. And not only were they victorious in their local struggle, but they helped inspire Indigenous resistance and set the tone for Indigenous resistance throughout the rest of the decade of the 1990s and even up to this day.